Welcome to Empire Building. I'm Wendy Papazan, and together with my four co-hosts, we bring you weekly unfiltered conversations about leadership, growing a big empire, and living on your own terms.
I'm Kimber Lovett-Minkiti. We are investors and wealth builders with over $75 million in combined net worth.
I'm Sarah Reynolds. We are visionaries who've built more than 50 businesses with over $122 million in annual revenue.
I'm Tiffany Fikes. We've led thousands of people and do it all while being pretty good moms.
And I'm Seychelle Van Poole. We are your podcast to learn how to build big businesses and even bigger lives.
Welcome back to Empire Building. I am Tiffany Fikes here with my amazing co-hosts, Sarah and Seychelle. And we are going to be talking about money today, which I'm very, very excited about.
I love money.
I always love talking about things that make other people uncomfortable.
You do. So
speaking of that, Say was telling us a quick story before we started about something that makes me uncomfortable.
Oh my gosh. You guys, if you have a gag reflex, plug your ears for a hot second. So I was taking Quinn in the car this week to school, and she was riding with me, and our amazing COVID dog, Tari, was in the car with me. And Quinn has a really bad gag reflex. And so we're in the car on the way. We're at a stoplight, and Tari starts, like, about to barf in the car. You know, like when you're a kid or your dog, and you're like, no! So Quinn freaks out, plugs her ears and her eyes. The dog is still sitting in her lap. We're, like, halfway to school, which is, like, a 30-minute drive. And I am chasing the dog all over the car with my coffee mug to catch it so it doesn't go everywhere. It was like Mario Kart catching all the things. So I sacrificed my coffee for the dog this week.
And you didn't crash?
I didn't crash. No one died. No one got barfed on. I didn't crash. And now the coffee mug is at Goodwill.
But so, a good lesson in pride cometh before fall, because
yes,
literally that same day, Wendy, you guys know Wendy, our amazing co-host, was talking about her dog getting skunked. And Say was so proud.
I was roasting her. I was so proud because I was like, oh, well, I've gone 5 years without my dog getting sprayed by a skunk. And then literally less than 24 hours later, my dog is barfing in the car. It's karma.
So a barfing dog makes us uncomfortable. And then also what else makes us uncomfortable, Tiffany?
Money.
Oh, no, that's it. And money. And money. It doesn't make me uncomfortable, but it makes a lot of people uncomfortable when I say, oh, let's talk about money.
Yeah. It is a hard topic. Like, unless you know you're around similarly yoked people, which I consider both of you, like, and all of our listeners, obviously, we know you guys are awesome in wanting to have those conversations too. But there's a lot of people that are not comfortable with it. So we're excited to talk about it today because we love talking about money. And we're going to do a two-part series for you today on how to grow money, how to make money, how to save money, how to build wealth. And so today we're going to be focusing on the six things that are keeping you from wealth building or building your wealth. And then the second part of this, which I'm really excited about, is going to be 20 plus things you can do in 30 minutes or less to make money, save money, or grow your wealth, which is going to be awesome. So I am so excited. And I definitely, as we jump in today, want to give a huge shout out to one of our founding Empire Circle members over at Her Best Life. Her name is Deb Pierce. She's awesome. If you don't know her, you should. She's fabulous. And she's been leading our Net Worth Club, where we have hundreds of women that are talking about money and the uncomfortableness and awesomeness about it. Every month, we have a Net Worth Club. It's a great gift as we come into the holiday season and you want to give a gift to someone. It's an awesome gift. And Deb has been leading that going on her third year. And so she and I talked a lot and talked about teaching this session of what holds people back from building their wealth. And she had some amazing insights. So I want to give her a shout out as we do this too, because she really helped form this together. So way to go, Deb. Thank you for your wisdom.
That's awesome. So what are the six things? First of all, this title is awesome. Six things keeping you from wealth. And no, we did not use our assistant, ChatGPT.
Is that what you call her?
I call her Chathy. Yeah.
I need a name for mine.
Yes,
oh, dang. Yeah. Okay, that's good.
Let's get to it. Okay. Six things keeping you from wealth. What's the first one?
All right. Number one, I kind of alluded to it with the fact that we don't want to talk about it. I mean, the number one thing keeping you from wealth is not getting honest with yourself about what is your current situation. So, you know, debt specifically, like, we don't want to look at that negative number on our balance sheet. We don't want to have to face the reality that we maybe had something happen in life that created a larger number in the debt category than we really want to.
Yeah.
So you've got number one thing keeping you from wealth is not getting real about your debt and being honest with yourself about it. And the only way you can do that and be honest about it is to, number one, figure it out. And number two, to look at it frequently. You know, you've got to revisit this bad news. Because here's the thing. If the pain is big enough of visiting that debt number, you'll change it. And if you ignore it, it will do nothing but grow. And so, number one, lean in to your reality of your financial situation, which for most people looks like debt.
I am uncomfortable hearing you say that, and I love it because you're right. If you focus on it enough, you will figure out a solution for it. Can I ask a question for both of you? How often do you look at this number? I just feel like, you know, if I was listening to this, I would want to know, like, okay, so how often are you actually looking at it? Once a year, once a quarter, once a month, once a week? Like, what? How often do you look at it?
We look at ours once a month. So George and I sit down and we look at our net worth tracker once a month. We do a deep dive update once a quarter. And so, like, once a month, it's typically a pretty quick look at, depending on what changed, like, quickly updating it. But we really look at it in detail once a quarter and make sure we're updating. Okay, what did we do in the last quarter? How did all of our investments go? We're updating, like, what debt was paid off, all of that once a quarter in detail. What about you, Tiff?
We look at it once a month. But that's because we don't have consumer debt. We don't have kind of like what financial people would consider bad debt. If we had something that we were working on getting rid of quicker, we would have looked at it weekly. Like, we would have visited it weekly to celebrate that number getting smaller, because you're going to be making sacrifices to do that. And so you can celebrate it if you look at it more frequently, and it gives you more energy to, you know, make that number go down. But now that all we have is property debt, we look at it once a month and we still celebrate it. Like, I really do. Every time I'm like, oh my gosh, we paid off this much debt this month. That's so exciting.
That's a gold nugget right there. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Okay. So when you are in the process of paying off debt, look at it more often because you want to see the progress, and you'll continue when you see the progress. It's like when you're trying to lose weight and you step on the scale once a week to see how you did in the last week. And if it went down, that like motivates you to keep going. Right. And so that's a great tip.
Because if you just weighed yourself once a month,
yeah,
you'd get off track.
Yeah. That was gold right there.
That's really good. Well, and I think this really pairs into number two, which is oftentimes not only, you know, are people not looking at their debt and really being aware of what the debt is, they're also not really paying attention deeply enough to where their spending and their money is going. And this can be everything from, like, Deb and I taught this class this week, and we had people that were like, I didn't realize I had 3 Disney Plus subscriptions. Like, I mean, it can be little things like that. Or they're like, oh my gosh, my kid is spending $300 a month on Roblox. I didn't even realize that was happening, because they just don't know where the money is going. And so, to Tiffany's point, if you are working on moving a needle in a big way in your finance world, like right now, we're really reassessing cash flow instead of just equity. And that is requiring more focus on a weekly basis for us to be focusing on that, because it's a muscle that we're focusing on building. And so we are looking at our net worth and our spending and where our moves are happening on a weekly basis, because we're working to build a new skill set. And so I think if you don't know where your money is going, looking on a weekly basis of your credit card statements and really digging into that on a weekly basis will help you be able to make those changes and moves quicker, so that you know what you can change, where the money went. I mean, even just as much as, like, Nick took Quinn the other day to Starbucks and a grilled cheese and an iced tall iced chai, $15. Like, I mean, we were like, what? So we were like, sorry, Quinn, no more. We're making all grilled cheese at home now. But it was like, that's $15. Like, if you just do that a couple times a week, that's $50 a week. So
this was huge for George and I when we first started going on the journey of wealth building. And, like, we didn't know much to begin with. Well, we felt like we didn't have a ton of money to invest. And when we sat down and we looked at how much money we were spending so frivolously, like, oh my goodness, like, it was really motivating, because then it was like, wait a second, Like, if we don't go to Starbucks every morning, like, wow, we would have that to invest. Like, this is such a powerful one because I think knowing where the money is going actually many times shows us that we do have money that we could be making wiser decisions with versus just wasting. So, such a big one.
Well, it also shows you your priorities. It shows you if you're out of alignment, like if you're out of integrity. Because if you're saying like, hey, my priority is this wealth building, but you are not watching how you're spending your money and you're like, well, I'm just not making the progress that I want. Go check your priorities. Like your money and your calendar are going to tell you your priorities. And so looking at where that money is going helps you realign yourself with what you are saying is really important. Because if Starbucks every morning with Quinn is very important, that's worth more than $15, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
But if it is out of alignment with what your family goals are or what your financial goals are, then you get back in line. Because I talk to people all the time about this because I'm super passionate about budgeting, is like, this is actually permission giving. It isn't restrictive or doesn't have to be restrictive, but people don't want to know where they're spending their money. It's the same thing as they don't want to look at their debt. They just don't want to be told that they can't go to Starbucks, even by themselves. So you've got to face reality there too.
I love that. And Tiffany, something you taught me at one of our Empire Circle retreats was your definition of frugality, or what does frugal mean to you? And you described it as you cut mercilessly on the things that are not important, and then so you can spend lavishly on the things that are. And that was so permission giving for me because having grown up in a family where it was just always no, 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 no. We just don't spend money on these things. Anytime I would buy anything that felt like a treat or a luxury for myself, there was like an association of guilt with that. And all of a sudden, when I heard that definition, it was so permission giving for me. And we model that with Quinn, where Quinn will be like, can I have this? Can I have that? You know, because like 11-year-old girls want all sorts of things. I mean, she's over here sending Tiffany skincare tips. She's like, hey, did you try this? Like, this lip gloss is the best. And so that kid could have amazing amounts of things. And I always say to her, like, wow, you have great taste. And is this something that is really important that is like on the priority list, or does it need to go on a like birthday or Christmas list, or is it just something we really don't need?
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. So number one was admit where you are, right? Like knowing like they don't know exactly where their current situation is, right? Number two, right? You don't know where your money is going. And so it's really hard to make a decision to start building wealth when you don't know where your money is going. Number three is the one that really, really held me up the most, which is fear or not like knowing how to do it. Like, how do I start building wealth? What's the first step? It is so scary when you like from my story, right? Like I knew business and I knew how to build a rocking business and a rocking company. And that's what I knew. And that's what I know. That's my sort of core competence is like business and marketing and making money, right? But I was doing nothing with the money other than continuing to build businesses. And that, yes, has helped my wealth building, but I didn't, anything else outside of that, I was petrified. Like, what do I do? Like, how do I do it? And what I realized is there are no dumb questions. Like, this isn't our one thing, right? Your one thing is your job, building the business, building the empire, right? And there's a lot of things we don't know. Like on Tuesday, I had a call with this attorney to review possibly doing what's called a CLAT, okay? It's a charitable lead annuity trust, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And he went on and on in the beginning about how we're the perfect people to look at this because we're very charitable. And then he started listing out all of the people that he has helped and like really famous names, okay, of really wealthy people. And all of a sudden, I started feeling small. He's doing it to try to amplify himself like that he knows what he's doing. And I get it. But it made me feel really small. And then I felt like I couldn't say anything because I was like, oh, my goodness, like he's going to know. I have no idea what this is. Right. And then he mentioned a long list of FAQs, frequently asked questions. And when he said that, I was like, well, the reason he has FAQs is because he knows the majority of people don't know any of this. Like 99.9% of Americans don't know. And all of a sudden, it was a reminder to me, there are no dumb questions. You don't have to know everything about wealth building. Every person that has wealth started with the same knowledge you have. They just learn faster, right? I was talking to my kids about this yesterday because they're so afraid of failure. And both me and my husband are recovering perfectionists or working on perfectionism. And it definitely has impacted our kids, and I see it. And I stopped them because they were talking about being like not doing something because of failing. And I said, let me be really clear that the only difference between those that are successful and those that aren't are they failed more and failed faster. They were not removed from the failure. They actually failed more. And those that have built wealth just ask more questions. They didn't start off knowing more. They ask more questions.
And I think, too, I have started saying out loud when I'm in a room where I don't know something. And I've just started saying, like, I'm real smart in the things that I know. And I've come to realize I'm real dumb in the things I don't because I don't know them yet. So, you know, I think we have to remember, too, that if you have a question or something that makes you uncomfortable or something that you're afraid of, chances are if you're in a room with other people, half the room or three or four other people are feeling uncomfortable or don't know that, too. And by you stepping up and being brave and asking the question, not only are you going to get help, but you're going to help multiple people in that room that have no idea what you're talking about or what you're asking about, too.
As a leader, it can be lonely. You're ready to grow, and you realize you need the right community to get you there. With Empire Circle, you'll be surrounded by driven, adventurous women who want more in business and in life. You'll get real-time feedback, personalized guidance, and honest advice from seasoned leaders who have built businesses and net worths in the hundreds of millions, all while living their big lives. If this sounds like the fuel you need to level up your business and your life, Empire Circle is absolutely for you. You can get more information at herbestlife.com by clicking on Empire Circle. Come and let's build your empire together.
Love it.
Okay. Here's the reality. Let me give us another reality check. Life happens. Parents get sick. Kids get sick. Businesses need your attention. Market shift.
Divorce. Yeah.
Yes. Like, I mean, so many things can happen and derail you from your wealth journey. And this is where number four comes in. What keeps people from wealth is when they don't get back on track when life happens. When they act like, well, this is the reality now forever. You know, like this thing, I can't invest right now because I've got to invest in my business. And then they never go back to it. They never revisit and get back on track. I know in the class when we were teaching this with Empire Circle, they were talking about the fact that it's a season. If you can acknowledge it as a season ends. I'm memorizing Ecclesiastes with my kids right now, which is very season driven and kind of negative focused because life happens. But you've got to understand that after the rain comes the sunshine. And if you keep walking around with an umbrella, you're going to miss out. And so, like, getting back on track as soon as you can when life happens will get you back on track for your wealth building. And it's not natural. Your brain wants to keep you in protective mode. It wants to keep you safe and, oh no, if this happens again, I don't want, you know, like it's all those things. And so don't let that. You need to get back on to your plan over and over again every time that life happens. And you need to not beat yourself up when you can't be moving forward on your plan because you're taking care of a sick parent or you're sick or a kid needs something or a business needs something. That is a season and it will end. And just get back on track and don't beat yourself up when you're in the middle of it.
I love that. Well, and sometimes in those seasons, we're building wealth in other ways. We're building wealth in life experience. We're building wealth in figuring our health out. We're building, like, you know, we talk about how we are whole humans all the time. And sometimes those seasons that derail us financially might be giving us wealth in other areas of our life, whether it's spirituality, health, physical relationships, or any of those other things. And so I've had to learn just to be thankful for that season and to say thank you to that season for it and then realize that I don't have to be in that season anymore and to move it forward. So it's very permission giving, Tiff. Thank you for that. The fifth one which I actually see quite a bit, is that we, especially those of us in real estate, can muddle our investments with emotion. And let me just give you a couple of examples with that. We had one Empire Circle member this last week that one of their investment properties was a property that they inherited, was the house they grew up in. And then they moved in and raised their kids in there. And then that season ended, they moved on, but they hadn't done anything with the house. And emotionally, they weren't ready to move on. But it's a vacant home that is worth several hundred thousand dollars. And by waiting, that person missed out on about $180,000 of profit that they could have made had they sold the home when they were ready at the beginning. But because of emotion, it held them back. We have a rental property that's not performing right now because we have a tenant in there that is a single person and lost their job and is really struggling to make ends meet. And they literally would be homeless if we kicked them out right now. That is a emotional decision that we're making that is holding us back from profiting on that real estate right now. And so we have to be clear when we're in the middle of this, like, is this an emotional decision that I am making that is impacting my profit, but I'm okay with that because it is an emotional decision I'm making? Or like the conversation Nick and I had a couple weeks ago of, okay, is it time now? We've been making emotional decisions. Is it time now for this investment to be an investment? There's other ways we can help this person, other ways in which we can help prop them up, other ways in which we can assist that maybe aren't putting this property in jeopardy, and we look at it a different way. And so I just want us all to realize sometimes, especially when we're in real estate, people live in those homes. We have our businesses in those offices, right? Like, there's other things and humans that are tied sometimes into those properties that can be emotion driven.
Well, and it may not just be relational emotion. Like, I'm really bad at ending things. And so selling things is hard for me. And I'm talking about stocks. You know, like, we had this opportunity to invest in Airbnb whenever it went live because we were a super host. And I held that stock too long just because I was like, I have this weird emotion to like ending it, it being over. And that has held me back in so many ways financially where, no, that was, I should have sold back here, you know?
Yeah.
And so it may just be weird emotions that you have too, not actually emotions tied to the investment that you need to deal with in order to make good wealth building choices.
That is so good. Something that Deb Pierce said that resonates so with that is, she said, am I making this investment decision from my past life and my experiences, or am I making this investment decision for the future life I'm working towards and desire? And I thought that was so good, like, around the emotion, because so many times we hold back because of the emotion tied to like the Airbnb, to the emotion tied in the property, to the emotion tied in the business. Like, I mean, I'm sure we all could have dozens of examples we could give you guys from that one. But I just thought it was really good. So yeah, totally, Tiff.
So good.
So fair.
Okay. So number one was being like realistic with where you are, right? Number two is don't know where their money's going. Number three is having fear of like pulling the trigger and knowing how to do it, what to do, right? Not getting back on track when life happens, number four. And then, like, instead of looking at it from investment, which an investment's black and white numbers, is there a return, is there not, right? Letting emotion tie us in. And then the last one, which I think also really resonates with my journey as well, is like really getting overwhelmed with the idea that we have to make these massive, big investments versus realizing that how wealth is built is by making small moves that build over time, right? And so many times we are judging ourselves by who we see, right, on stage, or who we hear, or who we read about. And we hear about them making these large moves, like just bought a business for $100 million. Like, and then we're like, we only have $10,000 to invest. Like, and so like, and we're judging ourselves like, okay, how are we going to save up to make $100 million to buy this other business? Like, and we're judging ourselves by everything we're hearing versus realizing that that same person also started by making a small move. And I remember the very first time. So the very first investment that we made was in real estate, because that's what we knew. But then I knew that we needed to start investing in the stock market to diversify. And I was so scared, because I thought I'd invest like tons and tons of money into the stock market and all of these things. And I remember, like, my husband saying, like, babe, why don't we just like start with $1,000, like, and like at the most 10,000, like we have 10,000 that we saved. We had sold a bunch of stuff in the house and we had some money. And he's like, why don't we just put that into an E-Trade account and like invest in the, like the fund of all the stocks. It's safe. And let's see how it goes. Like, let's just do that. And I was like, okay. Like, let's just do that. Like, versus thinking that we had to make these huge investments. And that account now has almost 40 grand in it. And that was when we started, like, that what we thought was small has now turned into 4 times the return over time. And that's how it works. It's not that you have to make these massive investments. It's small things over time that build. And so it's okay to start small. That's how everyone else did too. And so just start.
I love that.
Yeah. I remember my financial planner when we were, Joshua and I were just getting married and like working, making $30,000 a year. And I would call him and I'd be like, I've got $75. Can you put it in our, you know, IRA or whatever? And he's like, he would laugh every time. And he's like, you are literally the only person who does this. I love it so much. Everybody else feels like they need to accumulate before doing it. And you are just putting in $75 one month. I would send him things like $82.49. That's what we have to invest this month. And he used to crack up. But that is what got us here.
Yes. And you are financially free. I believe all three of us are financially free. And we all started small. It was not. Now, that's an amazing story. $75. I did not do that. Like, that is awesome. And that gives everyone listening, if that's what you have, start. And that will compound over time into way more money than you realize. I think our bonus sort of seventh item, I would say, we have a bonus today in terms of the seventh reason, is a lot of people don't have accountability around this. And for me, if I did not have our circle, so our circle, which is now what we call Empire Circle, but our circle, when I first started, I had only the business, right? I was not investing. I was not making decisions in terms of building my wealth. And we shared our net worth. And then the next time we got together, which was like 4 to 6 months later, I had a report on what I did or what I didn't do. And I did not want to come into a room with other powerhouse leaders and women and say I did nothing. I had accountability, which then pushed me to go buy our first rental property. Like, it was the accountability that actually pushed me to do it. And that's why you hear us talk about Empire Circle a lot. And you might be like, okay, here they go again. Yeah, here we go again, because we are changing lives and lives are being changed. Net worths are growing. Businesses are being built because they have the safe space, the accountability. We just got tagged in a post from Christy. She's one of our Empire Circle members. And she posted 2 hours ago, confession time, I didn't do my homework. And she's talking about the Empire Circle build her that we had yesterday and how Seychelle and Diane, how they handled someone coming into the circle. She felt safe. She felt seen. And she's back on track a day later because she had the accountability. And so many times we know what to do. We have these 6 things, but we need a push. We need someone to kick us in the butt, okay, to say, go out there and do it. And that is what Empire Circle is for me and for so many of our members. It really is that safe space to help us build wealth.
It is. It is. And so in true Her Best Life Empire Circle fashion, as you are listening today, we're going to give you some homework for part 2. And what that looks like is, we know that building your wealth starts with accumulation of small moves. And so the first move that we today want you to take is, we want you to go look at your calendar. We want you to find 30 minutes a week that you are going to be working on your money. And here's why this is important. Because the next episode you're going to get is 20 plus things, so almost a half a year, that you are going to be able to activate in those 30-minute sessions to save, build, or grow your wealth. But you can't do that if you don't have the time. So you're going to go time block between now and next week, 30 minutes each week on your calendar, and you are going to fiercely protect it, because next week we're going to give you almost half a year's worth of things that you're going to be able to easily activate and implement in your business to save, make, and grow your money.
It's going to be great next week.
Yes, it is. Thanks for joining us today. Go out there and build that big business and even bigger life. And if this has impacted you and helped you in some way or resonates with you that a friend needs to hear it, please do us a favor and share it with a friend or family and write us a 5-star review. Thanks for joining.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not Keller Williams Realty LLC and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.